Well, good morning. You know, I couldn't help but notice it's a little quiet in here today. And I don't know about you, but when I get in the presence of the Lord, come on, people. When I get in the presence of the Lord, it's kind of exciting. I can't wait to see what God has, you know. And I kind of like to clap, scream, shout, jump. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. So stay that loud during the whole of the sermon. It's great to see you this morning, whether you're here, you know, physically or whether you're online with us this morning. As you know, we've been looking into how to break strongholds in our lives for the past at least 10 messages, okay? And we're at the point where we're looking at what we have or what we possess to counter the strongholds that the works of the flesh invite into our lives. Remember the process, and I think this is important. Just remember the process. The devil looks for a foothold. The devil finds a foothold, and then he turns it into a stronghold, and eventually he maintains a stranglehold in your life. That's the devil's process. Say, that's the devil's process. All of you say, that's the devil's process. Thank you. How many of you know that the devil has processes? Many times he works in your life the same way he worked in your life before. When he successfully finds out what works, and he'll use that process in your life over and over and over again because he knows that if he throws it at you long enough, you'll cave in. Are you with me? Okay. But praise God, as a child of the King and as an heir to the kingdom of God, we have some possessions, all right, that break the devil's processes. Give him praise this morning. For every single thing that the devil wants to make into a stronghold, God has a way to break that. And he's given it to us in his word. Okay, please hear me. We may give the devil his stuff for his strongholds, but God also provides us the stuff for our freedom. Amen? And I think that's exciting. It tells me that there isn't anything that I can face once I have the Holy Spirit. Come on, say, once I have the Holy Spirit. There isn't anything that could come against me that I would have to face that I can't handle. Anyway, where we're at right now in the series is we are looking into the fruit of the Spirit as being Holy Spirit-provided weapons, if you will, or a weapon, because it's not plural, the fruit is not plural, against the works of the flesh. We saw last week how agape love was able to quench one of the fiery darts of the wicked. It quenches many. But by loving people with no strings attached, with no expectations out of them. Now this week, we're going to look at joy and peace as being part of our God-given arsenal as well, part of what he gives you and I to battle against the enemy. What's so nice about the fruit, singular, say fruit, not fruits, fruit. My hearing aids must be going dead. Say fruit.
Fruit.
Okay. It's singular. It's one fruit. It's many different, you know, assets of a fruit, okay, but it's one fruit. And what's so nice about the fruit, you know, of the Spirit is you can't have one without the other. You can't say, well, I've got love, but, you know, I really don't have joy. If you've got love, you should have joy. Are you with me? Or you should have peace, and you should have long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things. All right. Well, why don't we stand up and make our Bible declaration together? Okay, take your Bible in your right hand. We're pretty light this morning, so that's why we have to talk loud. You know, everybody's out doing their hopefully last vacation, okay? You with me? People are out doing that, and we do have some people sick as well, so please be praying for them. All right. Hold your Bible up. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do, says can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed, word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. I'm going to believe that you really meant that, let's go. Why don't you just try saying amen? Okay, that's good. I'll stop. All right. All right. You know, being attractive to some people is really a top priority in their life. It's why we as Americans spend more than $49 billion on cosmetics and more than $32 billion on perfumes and colognes a year. And that's an old statistic, it really is. But there's a problem with all of that. There's a problem with the thinking of it. Unfortunately, you know, makeup and fragrances can only bring temporary change to our outward appearance and our outward aroma, if you will. But if we really want to become attractive to people, someone that attracts other people, and be someone that they want to be like and emulate, the real key lies in changing the inside of the person and not the outside of the person. Is that true? Amen? And for the Christian, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit is a great place to start. The truth is, people are starving for love, okay? They're starving for attention and acceptance, not to mention joy and peace. And when our lives begin to produce a sweet harvest of these types of godly fruit in our lives, and people get a taste of it, then they're attracted to us. They're drawn towards us, if you will, naturally and spiritually drawn towards us. But the question is, how do we yield to or produce a satisfying sustenance, if you will, that people are looking for? Well, the answer is found in Galatians, okay, chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. And if you would turn there right now, that would be good, or you can read it up here on the screen as well. Are you there? Okay. The Bible says in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, what should we do? Let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's try that again. If we live in the Spirit, what should we do? Walk in the Spirit. Amen. Gary, if you would, I won't ask Gary because he's not there. Serena, if you'd come up and pray for the message, I'd appreciate it.
Father, thank you for today. I ask that you take this word and mix it as we mix it with faith. God, it would do what only your Holy Spirit can do and go where only your Holy Spirit can take it to make the changes in our lives and our hearts that need it to be. Father, we thank you for healing virtue flowing right now to those that need it right now in our congregation, that you would speak health and healing to their bodies, their spirit, their souls. God, every part of their being, their finances, whatever stands in need of your touch, God, I thank you right now that you're ministering in those areas. Yes, and Lord, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name,
Jesus'
amen.
Name. Amen. 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 Would you allow me to take just a minute here? Okay, just bow your heads. Just let me take a minute. Okay. What I would like to do here this morning is look at how does joy and peace make you and I attractive to other people, and how do we use the joy and peace as part of our bondage-breaking arsenal? Let me start by giving you the biblical definition of joy and peace. Joy is contentment produced by God's grace that is unaffected by outward circumstances. Okay, it's unaffected by outward circumstances. Similarly, peace is the divine inner stability and calmness of the soul that is impervious or not affected at all by external forces again, okay? I'm going to go a little farther. I'm going to talk about long-suffering and gentleness a little bit, but I don't think we'll get that far today. The fruit of long-suffering is the supernatural ability to restrain anger and be patient. How many of you know sometimes one of the hardest things you can have to do is to restrain the anger that you feel towards another person? Amen? That is really, really difficult. But long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, a part of the fruit of the Spirit, is already inside of you. It's not like you have to go looking for it. It's already inside of you. You just have to activate it. And gentleness is the divine ability to be kind and adaptable to others in other situations. And that can be difficult sometimes too, because we have our own agenda. But joy isn't happiness according to the world standard. It's not. It's much more than that. It's a higher level of confident commitment to your faith. The word joy is translated from the Greek word chara, which is taken from the other Greek word charis, which is the word for grace, okay? Well, what does that really tell us? It tells us that joy is produced by grace, okay? It's produced by grace. And it is definitely of divine origin. In other words, it comes directly from the throne of God, okay? Produced by grace. We can't work it up. We can't make it happen in our lives. It's in us already, and it's produced by grace. And even though someone might feel happiness or feel exuberance or excitement or even in really, really high spirits, all of these things are just fleeting emotions. Emotions is defined in Webster's Dictionary as a conscious mental reaction, such as anger or fear, subjectively experienced as strong feeling, usually directed toward a specific object and typically accompanied by psychological and behavioral changes in the body. An emotion is a state of feeling. An emotion is how you feel. And feelings, as we all know, they can change with our outlook or with our moods or even how someone reacts or treats us. We can be in high spirits and feel great about ourselves. We can think we look great and somebody says, "You're having a bad hair day," and it's gone, okay? You know, feelings change. And our feelings is what the enemy of our soul has a heyday with in our lives. In other words, the devil uses our feelings or our emotions to fight against our God-given joy and peace. He does. He does. So feelings are used to take down our joy and peace. Feelings of joy and peace are just cheap imitations, just feelings of joy and peace. Now, understand me. The God-given joy and peace is the real thing. See, when the devil gets a hold of our emotions, he can manipulate the way we act, the way we feel, or the way we react or respond in any situation. Well, how does he do that? By inserting feelings of joy and peace that really aren't genuine, okay? And then he removes those feelings of joy and peace, and he leaves us either in anger or frustration or hurt. And out of those result of feelings, he initiates footholds to make strongholds, and he establishes strangleholds in our lives. Are you with me this morning? Genuine joy, on the other hand, is a grace-produced expression that flourishes, and hear this, really, that flourishes even when times are strenuous, stressful, or just plain tough. How many of you know what it means to go through tough times? Because you've been through tough times, or maybe you're going through tough times right now, right as we're in this building today. You know what I can tell you is that don't be ashamed of the fact that you're going through tough times. It is not a sign of your standing in the Spirit, as some people like to say it is. It's not. In fact, hard times are a sign that you might just be moving in the right direction, and the devil doesn't like the fact that you're moving in that direction, so he's going to fight you. Come on. You knew these things when you first got saved. They were kind of a revelation to you when you first got saved, and now that you've been in Christ a little while, you kind of forget. Say forget. You just forget those things that you did as foundational ways to live, how you changed your life. And I've talked about this before, but it blows me away how much we forget and that we don't remember. And I swear to God, if we came in here every Sunday remembering what God has done for us and reciting it in our mind, we wouldn't be saying amen. We'd be saying amen. We'd be saying glory to God. We wouldn't be going, you know. But I preached on that before. But here I go again. The Bible says David is actually praising the Lord in a psalm, Psalm 119. He says, "If it hadn't been for my afflictions, if it hadn't been for the things that I went through, I wouldn't have known your word." Because when you're going through stuff, if you're smart anyway, you go to the Word. And many times, in fact, every time, I can't remember a single time when that hasn't been the case. When you go to the Word, God will answer you. And you get an answer that maybe will answer more than just what you're going through that day, and you'll have a revelation. And then you forget. Come on. You forget. Or maybe even it goes as far as this. You were in a pinch financially, felt like God was saying, give this money, and you gave it, and he gave back to you, but then you forget. Why is it the blessings are so easy to forget, but the way the devil bugs you isn't so easy to forget? Why is it we look at the things that the devil does more often than we look at the things that God does in our lives? I wish I had an answer to that, but I don't. Our tendency to look at the negative things of life are just overwhelming sometimes. We look at them, we role play them, we figure out what we do if they come. We basically make them come by focusing on them. But God has given us so much. You know, He really has given us so much. You know, I think when I got saved, and what has it been? 40 years ago. I'm only 43. I was saved really young. But I looked back on when I got saved, and I didn't really want to get saved because I didn't want to give up some stuff. I just didn't. I didn't know how to be me without certain things in my life, you know. But what I found when I came to the Lord, a lot of things I was told wasn't true, like everything is going to be great and wonderful. That didn't work. But I found when I came to the Lord, it wasn't that I had to give up those things. I didn't want to do them anymore. I just supernaturally didn't want to do them anymore. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I try to get saved every week to get out of the doghouse, if you know what I mean. If you don't, never mind. And I did that for many weeks. It worked for a while. And then I really got saved. And then she didn't believe me. But the things that the Lord just took out of my life, and I think the things that he took out of your life, automatically, we so easily forget. You know, and I touched on this the other week that, you know, the greatest miracle is, of course, that you got saved in the first place. Amen? So everybody has, you know, experienced a miracle. In my own life, I can think of things many times where it was only God's intervention in my life that things came out all right. The recent bout with what I've been going through was one of them. You know, even in situations like that, that the tendency to look towards the negative, my thoughts were to look that I was going to die instead of look to what God was going to do. And yet, how can I do that? How can I do that? How can I do that? How can you do that when he's done so very much? And that's just not a nice thing to say and a good religious thing to say. How many of you in this room have had, is it true that God has done so much in your life, changed you so much? Don't you wish every day could be like Sunday? I don't know, I do a lot of work in that. No, never mind. I do work more than just Sunday, by the way. You don't believe that. But on Sunday, you make this commitment. You know, you can feel the presence of God, man. You're going to change, and everything's going to be good, and you're never going to do that again. You're never going to do that again. You're not going to. Glory to God, I'm delivered. And on the way home from church, you find yourself falling into the same stuff again, the same old sin, the same old thing that trips you up. But you got to remember, even when you're tripped up, you got to remember what he's done. You remember the love that he's given. You remember the joy and the peace that he's given with you. And I'll continue that sermon next week, I guess. I don't want to sound like a broken record, okay? What did Pastor talk about today? He talked about remembering again. Why, didn't he remember that he talked about remembering the last? Anyway. No, I remember. It just amazes me how quickly you forget. Is it that bad? All right. One of the Psalms that was impressed upon me just really, really strongly was Psalm 103 during this whole summer that I missed, and that Serena missed. I came out of my door the other day, and I saw some stuff laying in the weeds, and I thought, well, I'd have picked those up this summer. I thought, man, summer's gone, you know? I didn't get a chance. But anyway, the psalm that was impressed upon me was, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The second verse goes like this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. See, and that's the problem. We forget the benefits, and we think of the bad times. And for some reason, we have a tendency to throw the bad times on the Lord and don't do a whole lot with the good times and the blessed times. That psalm goes on to tell you that he forgiveth all thine iniquities, everything. Everything that's inborn in you to do, he forgives you for that, okay? And he delivers you from all destructions, all those things. The plethora of promises that are in the Bible, he pours out his spirit. You know, he helps you. We're in a position where we really cannot fail. See, I can't fail. We're in a position where we can't fail if we just remember and then process what he's been doing in our lives. You know, there isn't really a time, even in and I'll quit talking about the sickness thing, but even in the time when I was sick, even in that time, I'm going to hold on that, but I wish there would be a time, you know, if you could wish what you could wish and get the wish you wished. Of course, I'm a Christian, so I have to say pray, right? Right. I pray to know what it would be like if I came in remembering all the things that the Lord has delivered me from, all the miracles that he did in my life, and so did you, and so did you, and everybody. To walk in here, remembering what God did. Let me think. He saved me. Let me think. He delivered me from drinking. Let me think. He healed me from a stroke. That was big. Let me think. He put my marriage back together. That was huge. And then this last time, took me from where? Well, somebody in church wrote me a letter and said, excuse me, Pastor Wes, are you terminal? And I didn't know, you know. And all I knew was out here, you know, I'm down about 30 pounds, still losing weight. And here I am now, 35 pounds up, in a very short amount of time. With my strength back, the doctor's saying it's going to take maybe 2 or 3 months, Wes, for you to start feeling normal. Well, I don't know if I ever felt normal, okay, but I'm really pretty much there. And it's been what? I don't know. 6 weeks, something like that. I want to leave you with this one thought today, like I've tried to leave you with many Sundays. And that's just this, just remember. It's never wrong to remember. It's always right to remember. You let go of the negative things. I'm going to tell you right now, when you let go of the negative things, sometimes the only thing you'll have left is God. And you remember the God things. Can you imagine what it would be like if we all came in rejoicing and remembering? Wow. You know, is that what heaven's going to be like? You know? Sometimes when I'm going through something, or there's a distraction going on, you know, I say to the Lord, what should I really be focusing on? Because obviously that's a distraction, you know. What should I be focusing on? We should always be focusing on remembering. He doesn't get tired of it. We don't get tired of it. And it's like, you know, I really don't have a whole lot more to tell you. Let me tell you how this process works. I try to preach, and when it starts being very awkward, I know something's wrong. By that time, the Lord is yelling at me to preach something else, okay? Because I don't hear so good, I guess. You might be right about the hearing aids. What would happen tomorrow morning if you got up and you had that in your mind? Maybe you write it down on a card by your bed, remember. And before your feet even hit the floor, you go, oh, I remember you saved me. I remember they said I had cancer, it's gone. Well, I remember I broke my leg. They said it'd take 8 weeks before I'd walk on it, and I was walking in it in one. You know. What would happen in your own life, in the spirit, everywhere, if you would just give God glory before your feet even hit the floor? But isn't that what we should be doing? And it's like God makes it so simple in his word, so simple what we have to do, but we neglect the simple things. We forget the simple things. We forget the 101 things that we did when we first got saved. Jeez, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. When was the last time you said that? When you used to say it all the time. You know, sometimes I wish the Lord could just grab a hold of us and just slide us right back into the basics. Because some of us have just forgotten the basics. Some of us missed the basics. But really, I think we've just forgotten. Just forgotten. Now, if you go home today, are you going to say, that pastor only wrote about half of his sermon? Then he acted like the Spirit took over. Or are you going to go home and do this? See, that's the trick. I've heard so many good messages. I'm not saying this is one of them. But I've heard so many good messages, you know, and I've taken notes. Those notes are still in the drawer. I've not read them. I don't remember what they were about. I guess that's the word that I would leave for you this morning is just this, is remember. Are you going through a hard time? Remember the last time God took you out of your hard time and took you back into a good time. Remember that. Are you feeling down, depressed, dejected, just bad, just horrible? Nothing is worse than depression when you can be right here and all of a sudden, kabam, you're right here. No reason. No reason. You just go down. It's terrible. You know, what can those people do that are down? Remember. I want to be the guy who can say, I bless the Lord with my soul and all that is within me. Bless him. I bless the Lord, oh my soul, and I didn't forget. I didn't forget what he did for me. Amen? Amen. See, if your pot roast was set for 11:20, you're going to have a raw pot roast, okay? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just take this one word, remember, and just drive it into our hearts. Drive it into our minds, God. Tomorrow morning, when we get up, Lord, just remind us immediately to remember. Holy Spirit, remind us to remember. We're serious about this, God. We're serious about wanting to be a people that really do rejoice when we remember. May every single person here, when they wake up tomorrow morning and they're facing maybe a job they don't like, God, please speak to them and have them begin to rejoice over the memories and the things that you so graciously have given them. Let it make a difference in their lives. Let it make such a difference that, God, they don't forget any morning to get up. And before their feet hit the ground, they begin to remember, wow, God saved me. Wow, I still have a marriage. I still have kids. Wow, I'm still walking. I'm still talking. Wow. I lived through that accident. They said I wouldn't, but I did. Had to be God. Thank you, God. Don't like this job, God, but thank you for it. Thank you for it. I remember when I was looking and you found one. God, don't let this be a joke. Let it be a reality. What would it be like? What would it be like if we did that? Let this week be a week where we are so mindful of the presence of the Lord, of Jesus, our brother, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, directing us, and guiding us. I'll even go as far as say, may we not take one single step without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because he is that way. I know, God, he will guide us through every step. And I know that the enemy will come this week, Lord, and try to stop this. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we have the presence of mind to rebuke him out of our presence. Cancel every single plan he has for our lives. Just help us to do that. Help us to live like a real Christian, God. Really. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.